Kia ora, welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 302. Today is Thursday, December 12, 2013. Well, I'd start out by saying something about being back, but I say that all the time, don't I? So I'm just going to skip over that, and we'll just pretend I said all that, okay? I have been exceptionally busier than normal over the past 3 months. There's been so much going on, so much to update you on, that that's all I'm going to do this episode, basically, is just update things I've talked about, things I talked about last time, what I've been up to, and something that I missed along the way. The main thing that we've done over the past 3 months is that, as those of you who follow me on social media already know, on October 31st, Nigel and I got married. What we did, essentially, is convert our civil union into a marriage. But in order to do that, we had to go through a ceremony, a wedding, basically. And we had to say the minimum legal requirement was certain vows, basically saying that there was no reason why we couldn't be married. And yes, we wanted to be married. That's basically what it amounts to. And so we decided what we would do is we would go to the registry office in Auckland and just get married there. And the main reason being that not even 5 years ago, 5 years in January, we had our civil union ceremony here at the house, and it was a big deal. The family was here, and it was, we thought, we've already done that only 5 years ago, not even. So let's just do it a little more low key. So that's what we did. It costs a little bit more, obviously, because you're paying for the facilities, and also one of the registrars comes out to perform the actual vow taking and stuff. And you just come, you say your vows, you exchange your rings, you sit down, you sign the register, your witnesses sign the register, and you're done. 10 minutes, 15 tops. So it was actually really good. Nigel's mom was with us, and his sister and her daughter and Nigel's brother. And the sister and brother were our witnesses, just as they were at the civil union. And so we all went out for lunch first, and then we came and had the ceremony, and then we just had a little barbecue that night. And then that was that, because on Saturday, the 2nd of November, we had a big party. And it was to celebrate the marriage, but also our 18 years together, because November 2nd is the anniversary of the day I arrived in New Zealand to stay. And we've always considered that our anniversary. We've always, it's, well, it's my expat anniversary as well, because it's the anniversary of when I actually officially became an expat, because I arrived in New Zealand to stay. And so we were celebrating those 18 years together, the fact that we are now legally married, and all of those sorts of things. And so it was a really good thing. The only problem was I had a little bit too much wine at the party. And I think around 11 or so, I thought, that's it, I'm going to bed. So I did. And some of the people had already left by then, and the rest left actually not long after. I think it was probably about midnight or so by the time the last person left. But that's actually one thing I'm actually quite glad about. If I do have too much, and it is pretty rare, but it's happened the second time now, that instead of, I don't get silly and I don't fall down, I don't pass out any of that, I just go, oh, that's it, I've hit the wall and I go to bed. And I'm actually quite glad about that, that I don't have the dire consequences that some other people have. And actually the next day I wasn't terribly hungover, so that's also a good thing. I was very tired though, but part of that too was that there'd been all of this intense preparation for, well, the wedding itself, but also the party afterwards. So it was good to I don't know, be able to move on and not have to worry about that anymore. But it was a very good day. Both days actually were very good days, and it was very nice. We had rings made, and what we did is we went to a jeweler and had them take some sterling silver in and make a band out of, just a very simple band. I actually posted photos of it on my blog, and I'll put links to those in the show notes, because those are the only photos I've posted online. One or two of them I think I shared on social media as well, Facebook and Twitter and stuff, but those are the only ones I've actually posted publicly. Not that there's private ones that are worth showing. They're basically the same things. But yes, we had rings made, and basically we didn't want to not have our civil union rings. We wanted to add on to it. So that's basically what was behind all of that. And the reason we ended up doing it was, well, you could just say we said, well, why not? And there's an element of truth to that, but it's more complicated than that, as it almost always is. Part of it is, I think both of us kind of felt, certainly I did, that although we were in a civil union and our relationship was legally recognized for most purposes under New Zealand law, the only thing we couldn't do was adopt, primarily. There was a couple other things. But it was the fact that we didn't have the right to marry, which everybody else does. And any heterosexual couple could marry and then decide to convert to a civil union or from a civil union to a marriage. We couldn't do that. It was civil union or nothing, basically. And that just, it didn't sit right. And so when we had the opportunity to marry, we took it. And just as any other person has that right to do. Now, in New Zealand, there, and I've said this before, there are three relationship recognition statuses, I guess, under law. One is called de facto, which takes effect automatically after 3 years together, although people can opt out of it ahead of that through, by signing up a contract with solicitors, lawyers. The second is civil union, and the third is marriage. And now it's open to everybody. Everybody has all of those same choices. So that is what marriage equality means. It means being able to have the same choices as every other citizen. And that's really what it comes down to. And so we just, it's what we really wanted. We really wanted to be married. And now we are in fact as well as in name, or vice versa. Because our family always called our civil union our wedding and referred to us as being married, even though legally we weren't. But now we are. So that's all sorted. It doesn't really change anything. The only difference is that we are now legally able to adopt children if we wanted to. That ship has sailed, however. But the other, because I mean, I'm going to be 55 on my next birthday, so I think it's way too late now. But the thing is that the thing is that everyone is now equal, and that's the main point I'm trying to make here. That what marriage equality means is equality, not just in marriage either, but in full equality for all people. And the other, aspect of this is that I could now sponsor Nigel for a green card for the U.S. Now, the odds of that happening are slim to none. But I mean, if I've learned anything in my life, it's to never say never. And although it's highly improbable, highly, highly improbable that we would ever do that, the point is we now have that option, which we didn't have before. As a matter of fact, as you all know, the reason I'm in New Zealand in the first place was because this country recognized our relationship even way back then, even 18 years ago. And the U.S. only does now because of DOMA, Section 3 of DOMA being struck down. And now that we're legally married, and now that my home state of Illinois also has adopted marriage equality, we have these options now to have our relationship formally recognized and by the U.S. government, which means that we could, if we so chose, move to the U.S. Now, as I say, the odds of that happening are so extremely remote that one could say it will never happen, but like I said, I never say never. So for what it's worth. But again, the point is that now I have the same options as every other American does as well. Not just every New Zealander, but also every American. So all of that is very good. Very good indeed. So that's the main thing that we've been up to. It was an intense thing for actually most of October. And we decided to do it in September. I think it was about mid-September, I guess. And then we started the process then and then ended up doing it. In New Zealand, you only have to give 3 days' notice to get married, which means that tourists can do it too, if they so chose. They can get married under New Zealand law. And so we did that, and we basically took up our time with that. And Nigel organized the food to be provided by this place in Birkenhead called The Casual Foodie, which does really nice food. And he actually had a really good time because he basically was the waiter and serving people the stuff. And he planned it so that he'd have a cool or cold thing to serve while something that had to be heated was still in the oven heating up. And then he would serve the hot stuff and then alternate back and forth. And it worked really well. And people had lots of food and very good food. So that was all very nice. But then I've also obviously had work projects going on throughout this whole time, my monthly work project. And then this past few weeks, I've been working on two projects at once. One is an annual project, and the other is the last monthly project of the year. And they coincided. And now the big monthly one was is especially problematic this month, but fortunately this time it wasn't of my doing. And there were things that were late coming in, and so I was pushed late, and I had to basically do a week's worth of work in 3 days, pretty much. But I got there in the end. I did survive, barely, but I survived. And this is all good, because it was maybe a bit questionable there for a while whether I would be able to pull through, but I did, and that's ultimately all that matters, I guess, because now I am off work completely until the end of January, and that's what, I think about 7 weeks or something like that, and that's a very good thing indeed. Now, Nigel is taking annual leave for a month, basically. He's tomorrow, Friday the 13th, is his last day at work, and then he goes back on Monday the 13th of January. And so he gets basically 4 weeks, but remember that there are 4 statutory holidays in there, plus weekends. So despite the fact that it's like 4 weeks, like 30-odd days or roughly, I haven't counted, he only has to actually use about half of that in terms of his annual leave. So it this time of year is a really good time to take time off work with 2 4-day weekends, basically, in the mix. So we're not going to do anything, really. We're just going to kind of be around the house and relax. We're going to do some small projects around the house. But for the most part, we're just going to kind of relax and take it easy and just rest. We're going to have a staycation. We're going to stay here because it's theoretically possible we might go to the U.S. for a visit later in 2014. Nigel's sister and cousin are going in September, I think it is. And so we thought that we might go and arrange it so that we could meet up with them while they're there and visit my family and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things go. It's a long way away yet. But so that's what we've been up to. Now, that actually touches on something that I talked about last time. Last time, which you probably don't remember, it's been so long, I said that the smart box was about to come home the next day. And it did. Originally, I planned on having Nigel help me empty it, but he hurt his back and wasn't able to help me too much. But there are only two items, fortunately, that I couldn't get out by myself because they're just too big and bulky. So we gingerly got those out of the smart box. And I did all the other unloading myself. Now, my original plan had been to get it all done within like 3 weeks. Well, that was overly optimistic because I couldn't figure out what to do with half the stuff that was coming in the house. And Nigel wanted to get a storage thing anyway, and a storage unit anyway. And so we had a camper. Our camper was stored in the garage, which is where all the SmartBox stuff was going. And we took that over to his sister's house, but she was in the process of selling her house. And once she sold it, we had to get it out. So we went and we got a storage unit because I said we were looking at possibly getting one to store the camper in. But it also had plenty of room to store other stuff in. And so then I finally relented and moved stuff into the storage unit rather than in the garage. And then now my car is back in the garage for the first time, probably in a couple of years or so. And so that's all very exciting in itself. I like having my car in the garage instead of sitting out in front of the house 24/7. But I wasn't happy about the idea of paying to store stuff rather than just getting rid of it. But at the end of the day, that was the best option because otherwise this would have gone on forever. And we still have to go through the stuff that's in there as I wanted to and get rid of it. But until we have the time to do that, which actually we probably will do some of over the summer break, it was the best option overall. And we don't know if ultimately we're going to keep the camper long term or sell it or what we're going to do. But this buys us time to think about it. It's safe. It's dry. It's out of the elements. And it also gives us a place to store the other stuff that we don't have room for here while we get rid of stuff. And we're in the process of reorganizing here. I mean, part of the projects we're going to be working on over the coming few months is to reorganize a lot of our spaces. My office isn't done, partly because I didn't know what I was going to do. And Nigel's office, we've decided we're going to reconfigure so that he's got basically a table surface to work on computer bits and pieces as he does without it covering his entire desk as well. So that's what we're going to be working on, just some reorganizing and paring down a little bit and just getting everything all sorted. And so I think ultimately it's going to be really good. And it's not going to be quite as painful to get this organizing done as it has been in past years, whether it was getting ready to move or when the smart box came home and so on, because we're not under any gun. We don't have to have a deadline that we have to meet. And that actually makes it easier to deal with. And but it will be our summer project, clearly, probably beyond that. But that's a whole other issue. Now, last time, too, I talked about the Labour Party leadership contest. And that, of course, has been decided. And the winner was David Cunliffe. And it was a clear victory. What they did is essentially an instant runoff system. We had to rank our choices first, second, and third. And if somebody didn't win on the first round, then the third place person would be dropped off and their votes would be reallocated. Well, it didn't get to that because David Cunliffe won on the first ballot, convincingly. He had a majority. And that ultimately was all that mattered. Now, I voted for Grant Robertson because I felt that the party should do something bold, but I wasn't unhappy that Cunliffe had won. And as Tim Barnett, the general secretary of the party, was saying when the results were announced, he said that just because people supported one candidate or another doesn't mean that they disliked another candidate. And I think that's absolutely true. The only one of the three I don't like is Shane Jones. And so I wasn't unhappy that Cunliffe won. I mean, I had voted for Grant Robertson, but the fact that David Cunliffe ended up the winner and convincingly on the first ballot, you know, that's good enough for me. And he's done a pretty good job since he's become leader. One of the things I've noticed is that there have been a lot more press releases coming out from his shadow ministers. We don't call them that in New Zealand, but that's basically what it is. One of the things he did is he arranged his caucus so that he had a government in waiting, so that the spokespeople on various issues, that's what they're called here. We call them, like, say, spokesperson on foreign affairs. I don't know. It's the first thing that popped in my head for some reason. So we have a spokesperson on whatever issue. The idea is that then if Labour forms government, they'll become minister of whatever that is, whatever that portfolio is. And they've all been putting out a lot more press releases. And you may think, well, big deal. I mean, politicians always put out press releases, but it wasn't happening for several years prior to that. There would be a flurry around election time and then nothing. No, I shouldn't say nothing, that's not true, but very little in between. Now they're regularly putting out press releases. You go on the Labour Party site and there's a long list of things that have been released by various spokespeople on various issues or Cunliffe himself. And I think that's a really good thing because it increases the odds that the stuff that they want heard is going to be picked up by the media, by the news media. And it's not just going to be this constant drone coming from the government benches. It's also going to be the opposition having its say. Because until Cunliffe was selected, the Greens were doing a far better job of being opposition than Labour was. And the Greens were always getting in the news and Labour wasn't. Well, that's starting to change now, where very often the Labour spokesperson or David Cunliffe himself are quoted by the media rather than the Greens, or sometimes in addition to, but generally speaking, because Labour is the official opposition, they're the ones who are getting quoted in the media. And if they want to win an election, that's what's got to happen. So all of that's very positive from my perspective as a Labour Party member. And but just from a pure politics geek side of things, I think it's really good to see because it means that there's a more engaged and vibrant opposition. And that's always good for democracy when there's a good opposition and not just a bunch of people kind of drifting, taking up space. So that was settled while in the time since I last recorded. But there's something else that happened that I would have talked about a little bit on the podcast if I had recorded in, say, mid-October. And that was that the two main islands of New Zealand now actually have names. As a matter of fact, I was going to say something like, I come to you today from the North Island. Yes, this is new. And what it is, basically, is that the Geographic Board, which is an official government agency that determines the place names of places in New Zealand and how they're going to be spelled and all that sort of stuff, it's called the New Zealand Geographic Board. They were looking at adding Maori names to go alongside the English names for the two main islands. Similar to our tallest mountain is now called Aoraki Mount Cook. It used to be called just Mount Cook, and they added a Maori name with it. And you can, in that particular instance, they're both called the same. It's called Aoraki Mount Cook to basically honor both heritages in New Zealand. But there are other, most places have alternative names in Maori. For instance, Auckland's Maori name is Tamaki Makaurau. Now, not a whole lot of people actually call it that, but like other places in New Zealand, it does have that as an alternate name. Although places that have Maori names don't have English alternate names, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, I digress. So they found when they were going through this process that the names North Island and South Island had never actually been officially gazetted, and they had never become official, even though that's what everybody called it. The government referred to them as the North Island and the South Island all the time, but those weren't the official names. Now they are. The official name of the North Island is North Island, and the official name of the South Island is South Island. Here's a fun fact. When you refer to the two islands, you always refer to them with the word the in front of it. So, for instance, Auckland is the biggest city in the North Island, not Auckland is the biggest city in North Island. Never do that, ever. And I live in the North Island. I don't live in North Island. And you also never say on. Again, don't say, I live on the North Island. You say, I live in the North Island. More fun facts to know and tell. Anyway, the new alternate names in Maori are Te Ika Maui for the North Island, which means the fish of Maui, and Te Waipounamu for the South Island, which means the waters of greenstone. Greenstone is New Zealand jade, and it's found in parts of the South Island. And, well, there's a whole story around that, too. It's very spiritual for Maori people, and one is not supposed to buy greenstone for oneself. It's supposed to be given to you. And so if a New Zealander gives you a piece of greenstone, it's a very good thing. It's supposed to convey luck, among other things, and prosperity, all that sort of stuff. So, just more fun facts to know and tell. So the North Island and South Island have official names now for the first time ever, and they also have Maori alternate names. And as you can imagine, it dragged up the usual racist nonsense from some people who seemed to think that the name was being changed, and they silliness, especially because they didn't seem to understand that alternate didn't mean you had to use it, just meant you could use it, and it was an official name. You know how people get. Now, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on. The census data is starting to be released in bits and pieces, and I'll be talking about that in future episodes. But I'm not going to talk about it today, partly because I haven't blogged about it, and I want to do that first for a variety of reasons, partly so I've got something to link back to in the show notes, but also because I haven't fully formed all of my thoughts around some of those issues. But it is definitely something I am going to be returning to in the future. And I've got other stuff I'm planning as well, and hopefully they will actually happen. Now that I'm done with work for the year, I've got time to take care of some of the things I haven't been able to take care of over this current year, up until this point, but also the fact that all of our household projects are reorganizing and all that sort of stuff are drawing to a close. That means that I will, again, have time to devote to my pursuits, to my avocations, to my hobbies, which includes podcasting and blogging and all that other stuff. So all of that is good for the future. It means that 2014 will be a better year than 2013 was, and which is always a good thing in itself, and stuff for me to look forward to as well. I don't know if anybody else will look forward to it. But it does mean that my next podcast will not be in 3 months' time. It will be before that, although I'm not stupid enough to say how soon it's going to be. My mama didn't raise no dumb babies. But that is it for today. I just wanted to update on all the stuff that has been going on and the bit about the island names, which I wanted to talk about before and obviously didn't because I didn't record. And finally, it's not unusual for me to record the same episode many times. This particular episode I have recorded, I think, 6 times now. I think this is the 6th time. In some cases, I started and then stopped and a few times did that. But yesterday, I actually recorded this entire episode and was ready to post it, but the sound just wasn't quite right. And I've had this problem before, and I've sometimes been able to fix it a bit. What it is, it's something to do with GarageBand, and I don't know what's going on with it. My vocal track is even though the levels are fine when I'm recording and when I listen to it in GarageBand, it sounds fine. But the music when I play the MP3 is way too loud, the opening and the closing. So I turn them way, 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 way down. And then the vocal track doesn't sound right in the new MP3. So I thought, screw that. I'm going back to Audacity, which is what I used way back when I first started podcasting, and we'll see what happens with that. I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but hopefully at least the sound will improve. The audio quality will improve. We'll see. But that's it for today. I will be back soon. I just don't know how soon. And I won't promise, because I'm not a bad boy. I won't promise what I can't deliver. Talk to you soon. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.